you in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus. Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app, and you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. It is Thursday, December 9th. Field, Mike Clay, Stefania Bell, and Daniel Dopp are here for our usual Thursday show. We will preview an important game tonight between the Steelers and the Vikings. We have the latest on Dalvin Cook, promise to get to that, plus wide receiver cornerback matchups, plus some news. Mike, I'll talk to you in a second, but Stefania, we all must know the world is just curious beyond measure. How was your several day vacation and how was the private jet home?
Yeah. Okay. So none of that is true.
What?
I was in Nashville working, despite, you know, a couple little things I posted.
Working on what? Your tan?
No, I was actually presenting at this really cool meeting. The AAEP, American Association of Equine Practitioners. I want to give a shout out to them. Some of whom are fans of the Fantasy Focus podcast, by the way. And I was presenting with another PT and two vets on translational medicine, what we use in elite athletes and humans for rehab, and how that translates to the horse. And I learned a lot about some really cool horse athletes who are doing things like BFR training and compression therapy. Anyway, it was super cool. Everyone was wonderful to me there. And yeah, got a little Nashville, got some good Tennessee cooking and some good music in on the last night. And I'm back.
Oh, it's great to have you back, as always.
BFR training, I was just doing work on that, too.
BFR?
Yeah. BRF?
BRF? What was it like for you?
Tell
me about the experience for you, Mike.
I mean, I know all about it.
You're pretty much the expert on those.
You may recall, do you remember who the very first athlete was to do blood flow restriction training?
And Secretariat.
And it sort of broke the ice. No, but after, you know, it was in the military and we did it on SportsCenter. We presented how they were using it in San Antonio with the military. Of course, Alex Smith in our piece, we saw him doing it. But the very first athlete, pro athlete to use it sort of broke the ice and flooded. Do you guys remember? I wrote a piece on it. Thanks for reading. But anyway, it was years ago at the Combine. Jadeveon Clowney.
Jadeveon Clowney.
That's what it was.
And
we all had the same joke there.
They dipped their toe in the pool, and now it's being used by NFL, almost every NFL team, Major League Soccer, Major League Baseball, NHL. Players love it, and it's really changed rehab, and now we got horses doing it.
I love that Stefania was so bored with dealing with us that she was like, I'm also going to be a horse PT because I got so much free time while I'm at it.
There's been no injuries this year in football, so nothing else to do.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm just going to go do this.
Scot-free all season. You know, it is sort of funny that like every time we have, obviously, and I'm speaking on behalf of basically everybody in this podcast besides Stefania, like we have no idea. Like when Stefania said equine, I thought that meant horses, but I wasn't entirely sure. Like we all don't really know just how, like we all know that Stefania is like a major deal in the medical community, but like we really don't have the full perspective on it. And then Stefania gets invited down to places like Nashville to speak at these conferences. And you're like, okay, like Stefania is basically the Tom Brady of medical people, right? Mike? Daniel, myself, I'm not gonna draw a quarterback equivalent because I don't want to be mean, but like we're practice squatters. We're practice squatters relative to Stefania Bell, the goat of goats. So we did kid a little bit.
I do want you to pick the quarterback that you would be, though. Field, by the end of the show, I want all three of us to pick which quarterback we would be in that joke.
I'm just going to make up a name and hope you guys believe it's actually a practice squad. Michael Johnston, Saints fifth string quarterback.
Stop.
What? Is that a real person?
Chad Pennington.
I knew
you love Chad Pennington.
Chad
Pennington so much.
That's my guy.
It is your guy.
Thunder and Herd. Let's go.
Let's get to that in just a little bit. We'll have more on the Thundering Herd seasons during Chad Pennington's time there a little bit later on in the show. But we will begin with a couple of injury updates because contrary to Mike's assessment earlier, there have been a few this year in the NFL. Stefania, some positive news, though, in Chicago because they will have their rookie quarterback under center on Sunday night.
Yeah, it depends if everyone thinks it's positive or not. I'm just going to say that Matt Nagy did say that Justin Fields, who had a rib injury that has kept him sidelined, has been cleared and he will be the starter.
Yeah, that's a good point, Stefania, because on our pre-show meeting, we wonder whether it was a good thing or not. Mike, I think, trust me, I'm going to be hopelessly optimistic or maybe not hopelessly, but I'm going to be optimistic that Justin Fields will look the part at some point this season for a multi-game stretch. But if the first 13 weeks of the season are any indicator, not just because of his play, but also because of his injuries, like 2022 was a much more likely mm-hmm. year for Justin Fields to be a fantasy starter and as a passer. I'm not sure this moves a needle one way or the other for Darnell Mooney or Cole Kmet, who are right now the two players that actually matter in that passing game.
Yeah, so I looked at his seven full games so far. Darnell Mooney's wide receiver 31 in fantasy. Allen Robinson, wide receiver 60. Cole Kmet, tight end 22. And the running backs as a whole are 26th, right? So the production really was not there, right? That being said, if you look at Fields' last two full games, he was a top 10 quarterback in both, right? So he was trending up. He was going the right direction. He was kind of off to a slow start in the game. He got injured. But again, his last full game, I mean, Darnell Mooney was starting to heat up a little bit right about that point. He had a bunch of top 20s in a row. And Allen Robinson's best game happened in his last full start.
What was his best game? Just curious.
What, Allen Robinson?
Yeah. It was like 4 for 37.
Like, yeah, 62 yards on okay. 4K. I don't know, something like that.
Tough year for Allen. He's in a contract year too, man.
Yeah, it was rough.
Tough times right now for him.
So anyway, I think Mooney, you're still starting no matter who the quarterback is. Robinson, if he's back from injury, not starting him. Cole Kmet's the tight end too, not feeling great about him. He's been too up and down despite the targets being pretty good. And then at running back, it depends if Montgomery plays. He missed practice yesterday. If he goes, you're starting him. If he's out, you start Khalil Herbert. It's pretty much that straightforward. And don't start Fields yet. Don't start Fields just yet.
And this Green Bay defense has been pretty good over the past couple of months, getting healthier too. Not quite there was Za'Darius Smith and Jair Alexander, but perhaps they're available for Green Bay's playoff push. Confirmed that Allen Robinson's best game, 4 catches for 68 yards. Not what you would have expected coming into this season. Stefania, good news, bad news for the Saints, specifically in the backfield. What do we learn about both Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram yesterday?
So Mark Ingram was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list after testing positive on Wednesday. He is reportedly vaccinated, but does require two tests 24 hours apart that are negative before he can be eligible to return. And when you're just looking at the timeline, obviously that's a tight timeline. Now, his teammate, Alvin Kamara, remember last week we thought maybe there was a chance that we'd see him, and then ultimately they held him out. I'm told that he felt good enough to play, that the team was just being cautious. We did see that he was a full participant in Wednesday's practice, and that's really the first time we've seen that to start the week. So I think it certainly looks positive for Alvin Kamara. He's missed a month now with the MCL injury, and they have to be feeling good about where he is. I think it's more likely than not that we see him this week.
Okay, I was going to say, because if they don't have him, and they don't have Mark Ingram, and they don't have Deontay Harris, and they do not have Jameis Winston, and no Michael Thomas, and no Adam Trautman. I mean, it has just been an unbelievably bad string of injury fortune for the Saints this season. Alvin Kamara, if he has the job unto himself, Mike, like, I made the comment yesterday that if Melvin Gordon does not play on Sunday, it's going to be hard for me to not want to rank Javonte Williams number one overall amongst backs this week. Mm-hmm. But without Mark Ingram, there's a pretty darn good chance Alvin Kamara could be the number one running back this week.
Yeah, he is certainly top five, and it's one of those that's straightforward. If Alvin Kamara plays, Alvin Kamara goes in your lineup, right? Yeah. It's that simple. So fire him up. He'll be busy. We'll see if kind of who the number two is going to be interesting, right? Because when they brought Mark Ingram in, it took off some of the carry load from Kamara. Now, they only played a little bit together, helped Kamara focus on the passing game. But right now, Ty Montgomery is the next up at running back, not Tony Jones. So do they utilize Kamara more running the football and Montgomery helps out in passing situations, or is it the opposite and they work in Tony Jones more often? It's unclear, but the fact is he should push for 20-25 touches right away. Should be fresh coming off basically a month out. So, yeah, you're starting Kamara. That's the only Saints running back you're worried about. And by the way, if he's surprisingly out, Ty Montgomery, of course, is the next guy.
By the way, I mean, every team has some level of injury misfortune during the year. Mm-hmm. The Saints, I would argue, have had about as bad of injury luck this year as most teams in the NFL. The Ravens have had some bad. Yeah. There have been a few of them, right? But part of the reason why I love following the Saints, other than an affinity for them as a franchise, is that our guy Mike Triplett is huge in the fantasy community. He loves fantasy football, and he's constantly sharing useful anecdotes or insights about the value of fantasy-relevant players for the Saints week after week after week. This year, it's like they're grasping at straws for Saints players. So next year, Saints are healthier, maybe have more stability, or Jameis Winston back at quarterback. That means the return of constantly bugging Mike Triplett for fantasy insight. Tripp, I'm already sorry in advance. Stefania, the Chargers have a bit of a situation on their hands right now at wide receiver. Keenan Allen was placed on the COVID-19 list on Monday due to a positive test. And now we have more information on their second wide receiver.
Right. So then Mike Williams was deemed a close contact. And so he, too, was placed on the list. That happened Wednesday. Keenan Allen has been vaccinated, and so reportedly could be back again. This is just like we said, they have to have two tests that are negative within 24 hours of each other. But it would seem that the timeline would allow potentially for Keenan Allen to be back. And who knows with Mike Williams, we shall see.
Mike Williams, according to Brandon Staley, unvaccinated. So he's got a five-day close contact period. Yeah. Now, people are probably saying, all right, well, he was placed on the list on Wednesday. A little bit of math gets you to Monday with the close contact window. That's not the case. The contact with Keenan Allen supposedly took place either Sunday or Monday. You know, they played the same position. They probably flew on the plane together, right? They came back from Cincinnati. So it's unclear exactly when that close contact took place, but it is possible that Mike Williams would be available on Sunday against the Giants. They're not flying this week, which certainly helps. They don't have to travel on Saturday or charter a jet on Sunday morning or something like that. And they have had a player, another player, Joey Bosa, who's also unvaccinated, return under the similar circumstances just a few weeks ago. He was a close contact. Mm-hmm. He was still able to play that week. So the door has not been closed on Mike Williams. But Mike, just for a second here, just if we do get down.
I was just going to say, just to clarify for the close contacts, this is all determined by the things that they wear, that show where they've been and who is in rooms in close proximity. And so they have the ability to go back and see, you know, when was the last time they were together. And if they, in fact, know that the window has the potential to allow that to be the case, then that's probably why Brandon Staley was so comfortable. Because obviously, if Keenan Allen was placed on the list on Monday, he was then isolated and removed.
And also, by the way, Keenan Allen has not been ruled out for Sunday by Staley either. He said, we'll hopefully get some good news in the next few days. That was comments on Monday afternoon. But Mike, in the event that both of them are unavailable, it's week 14, the final fantasy regular season week in many leagues. Would you feel comfortable starting any Chargers wide receiver that's not named Williams or Allen?
I don't think comfortable is the word, but I think there's some room to maneuver if you're looking for a flex or maybe a wide receiver three. The priority order, well, put it this way. Let's say both are out, like you said, right? What they'll do is they'll put Jalen Guyton and the rookie Josh Palmer on the perimeter, and then my guess is they would bring up KJ Hill off the practice squad and put him in the slot. That's my best guess. It could, they have like four or five receivers on the practice squad. It could be a couple different guys, but nonetheless, that's my best guess. In that case, the priority is Guyton. He's number one. He should probably already be picked up in your league if you're in a 12-plus team league, because odds seem, if you had to bet, you'd probably lean toward one of these guys being out at the very least. So Guyton, in that scenario, would be on the wide receiver three radar. And he's coming off a game last week where he had 19 fantasy points. That was a career day for him. That's the highest total he has ever put up. So coming off a good game, already has played a somewhat significant role this season. So he's the next guy up. And then if both are out, that's when you start looking at Josh Palmer as a potential flex. Now, he hasn't played a lot this season, about 20% of the snaps, but there's an opening here for him to play a full-time role if both of those guys are out. So again, Guyton's the guy to pick up now. Palmer has a shot at flex value. Hill, you're going to stay away from, but that's how I would expect it to play out.
Did you hear Mike not knowing which of the four or five Chargers wide receivers could potentially be activated?
Yeah.
Does that make you sick to your stomach, or is it just me?
It's like, do you prepare for this show because you care about us or not, Mike? Like, I don't understand why you only know one of the four or five wide receivers that might be promoted.
I texted Brandon Staley, just he doesn't answer my text. So.
Wow.
Wow.
Really?
I don't know if it's his
is
number.
Is it personal?
I saw a guy that looked kind of like him, and he was like, yeah, that's me. And I gave him money and stuff for his phone number. And it's like, you know, $10,000. I thought that was fair for a head coach's
number.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
But he doesn't answer my text. I haven't heard from him since.
That's bizarre. And has the money been deposited? Was it a check or was it cash?
Oh, it was just cash. You know, I carry that around. So I just was like, here's some
to his. It is good to be the King Clay of Connecticut.
Yeah, but it's weird. I haven't heard back. I think he'll answer this one, though.
You got to figure by like Friday at the latest.
I would
right?
think so. Yeah, he's probably just busy. That's all. It's the middle of the season.
That's right. No later than Friday for Mike's answers. So stay tuned. Follow him at Mike Clay NFL on Twitter for the breaking
I'll
news.
I'll update you when I hear.
Okay. One more piece of news here as far as injuries go. Stefania, and we're down the same road we have traveled previously. That is that Saquon Barkley was limited yesterday. The Giants did not practice. So it was a projection, but this is still notable.
Yeah, it was a walkthrough. And I think what's notable is that Saquon himself acknowledged before he came back after having this ankle injury that kept him out that the ankle was going to be, and nagging was the word that he used. And it's something that I expect is going to bother him throughout the year. I don't think we're done seeing him on the injury report. I think this is going to be one of those things where, depending what happens in a game, he's probably going to be limited. He's got his ankle heavily taped. Like, it might not be 100% for the rest of the year. And I think you just have to plan for that.
And the reason why I drew the attention to it is because last week he was off the injury report, right, which is not to say that he's, you know, feeling 1000%, but if you're off the injury report, as Stefania explained to us for like the 90th time during our pre-show meeting, like if they treat you in some way, shape or form and it limits your availability, you must be put on the injury report. Sometimes it's nothing more than a formality, but just keep an eye on this one. Devontae Booker obviously would be the next man up in that Giants backfield. And Mike, I know that Saquon's obviously been a guy that you've had an affinity for this year.
No comment.
But the reality is that, like, if he's unavailable for some reason, like, it's clear, like, Devontae Booker is going to return comparable value to Saquon. He really will.
Yeah, based on what we've seen from Barkley lately, no doubt about it. Now, Barkley, right before that ankle injury, had two straight top tens and seemed to be heating up and playing 90% of the snaps. It seemed like he was back, and then that happened, and now it's been a debacle, not to mention that the Giants are never in scoring range, right?
Yeah.
They had, I think it was Josh Hermsmeyer today tweeted about the team that has the offenses that have had the benefit of the most DPIs, defensive pass interference, and it's the Giants, and they're still dead last in touchdowns.
Wow.
I mean, they don't get in scoring range, and that just further complicates things for this New York offense and for Barkley. But you're exactly right. If he plays, we're going to view, it's a good matchup. The Chargers have allowed a touchdown to a running back in each straight games. I mean, it's a good matchup. You're going to play him as a good RB2 with room for more, but you're right. If he is out, Booker subs in. We saw this earlier this season. He's a, he'll step right into 15 plus touches, maybe 20, and he's an RB2 as well.
Let's get to the Thursday night football preview. We're going to talk about Dalvin Cook after we get through our Pittsburgh Steelers. But the game begins tonight at 8:15 p.m. Eastern time. If you're like me or Daniel or Mike and you get tired by about 9:30 at night, you know that these 8:15 starts are tough, Mike.
Yes.
And part of that's because we live on the East Coast. And if anybody's watching the live stream right now, they can see that Mike is wearing a very cool T-shirt. I want you to tell us a bit more about this T-shirt, the support that it, the cause that it supports, and where you found it.
Yeah, so this comes from our good friend JJ Zacharyson, late round QB on Twitter. He's a really good guy, and you know, JJ. Over the years we've kind of grown up together on Twitter. You know, watching, like, I remember when we used to, you know, when you're younger, you like post on social media more, and we used to like, in the early stages of football Twitter, we would watch like 24, like everyone would like live tweet about 24 as we were watching it. Right. This was 10, 15 years ago. Right. Yeah. So, and we just kind of have grown up into the industry together. Right. So now we're at the point where we all have kids and stuff. And now it's kind of become a joke. Like, you know, when the game runs till midnight or 12:15 or it goes to overtime, it's like,
God,
bad game for East Coast dads. Or if it's done early, like last week, right? It was done at like 11:05 or something. It was a good night for East Coast dads. So JJ always jokes about that, but he decided to put some merchandise together, East Coast dads. You could go to the website, and this is the cool part. 100% of the income for the shirts goes to charity, to No Kids Hungry. So it's an awesome deal here. JJ's doing an awesome thing here. So go head out and support the cause and help where you can.
Yeah, and for the record, No Kids Hungry is where our buddy Al also is helping to support as well. So it's another great cause. Absolutely.
Great cause.
Very cool to see that both of those are leveraging their platform in an incredibly altruistic way. I echo everything you said about JJ. One of the smartest guys. If you 100%. Ever, he's like Mike. He's one of those guys that just thinks at a higher level. You guys are both absolutely sensational and just think of things in a way that I think is very logical, but also I think insightful. I love his Sunday night thread. He dumps a bunch of information he learns during the game, just like Mike does with his snap counts and other things. All right, one more thing. I got to brag about one more thing before we get to the game.
All right,
dude. I promise I'll stop bragging here in a second. But I was on the old Twitter machine yesterday scrolling through my feeds and something came up. And Roger Sherman from Ringer had sort of posed the question about projections, and I have my phone here so I don't screw this up.
Sure.
About whether projections is like the way to go.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
And he asked, how often do you alter your fantasy lineup so that it's set with the highest projection, possible projection per ESPN, whatever service you use? And there was a really interesting response. It came from a man named Alex Cates, who is, and I don't even know what this means, a neuroscience PhD student at Northwestern.
It means he's really, really smart.
Yeah, it means extremely smart. I don't,
smarter than me. Like,
neuroscience is a study of the brain, right?
Yeah.
And Northwestern, really good school in case you missed it. And he has a whole piece on alexcates.com. You can go check it out. I did some analysis last year across almost 6,000 ESPN lineups and found that following the projections added 3 points on average to your weekly score. The conclusion, almost never think about going against the projections anymore. And not only that, he looked at the analysis of those projections, the best projections, period, in fantasy football, the best. here at ESPN. For those of you wondering who does the ESPN projections, it certainly isn't me. I'll tell you that much. I couldn't even do a projection if he told me to. It's Mike Clay, the great Mike Clay.
Thank you.
Mike, yeah. So smart. We're so lucky to have you as the engine of our fantasy football content here at ESPN. That was really cool. You deserve some shine for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I am a major nerd, and I love them, and I work on them year-round, and I first built that model over a decade ago, and I just constantly work on it to make it better during and especially in the off-season. So I will, you know, I put
Mike's,
a lot of time into
Mike's
it.
So
it's good.
It's
good to see that people smarter than me study those and they look good, because it would give me massive anxiety if that analysis said, oh, these aren't very good. You know what I mean?
Well, so here's my takeaways from that is, number one, really smart guy did the analysis, so I trust it. Number two, I shouldn't go against Mike's projections like I have been, other than Saquon Barkley, but that's a different story.
Wow.
But for real, no, that's awesome. I think the fact that when you get somebody who's completely outside, and this is what we call objective data, objective measurement, and somebody who knows how to do analysis, and they come to that conclusion, it's not like we're saying it anymore. It's like somebody completely separate from the situation has identified this. So all you crazy people out there, pay attention to Mike's projections.
What's funny about those two is I've seen those before, studies like that, and usually the people go in like, I want to prove that these are terrible.
Right.
And they're like, well, I hate to admit it, but that's how it always is. Good. It's on like Reddit.
Or they don't publish the results if it's not what they wanted you to see, right?
They do, though, which is nice.
But are you telling me that I should actually care about the alerts that I get when it says someone on my bench is projected to outscore someone in my starting lineup?
You want to win or not?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, what's the most impressive thing you've built over the past 10 years? Like, Mike was like, yeah, I built a projection model about 10 years ago. Like, I helped my nephew who's 5 build a Lego over Thanksgiving. Does that count? Like, that's literally the scope of my...
I built my wine collection.
Okay, Stefania, let's go.
Stefania wins.
Okay, Stefania.
I still work on that, but no big deal.
So we have East Coast dads. We need East Coast nerd shirt as well. Then
we do. We got to expand the brand even further.
Killing me here.
All right, so we will get now to the Thursday Night Football preview, but just want to make sure that Mike gets the shine he deserves, and JJ for that matter as well. Two very, very, very kind and successful and great people. Let's get to the Thursday Night Football preview. And again, we'll have Dalvin Cook news in just a little bit. Let's go to the Steelers, though, just to make it easy. Like, we'll just go right through the Steelers because they're fairly straightforward. Stefania, as far as injuries go, Ben Roethlisberger is almost always on the injury report for some sort of injury, but I think he's been removed recently.
Yeah, he was there. I was just looking at that. He was there on Monday. Well, he's still listed, but he's on the full participant. There's never really a question about his status. He's made it clear he's going to play, even though he's announced that this is going to be the last season at the farewell tour. I would believe that it would be almost impossible to see him not take the field for the rest of the season. And he is, in fact, off the pregame injury report. No question about him playing tonight.
So he's actually been pretty good recently, Mike. He's been a top 10 quarterback in two of his past three games. The problem is, prior to that, he had no finishes inside the top 14. So is Ben tempting enough to potentially play him tonight?
Yeah, and those top 10s were not better than 8th either. So, like, your best case scenario, if everything goes right, is like a back-end QB1. Right. So is that enough to start him over a guy who's been starting all season? The answer there is no. He's just, and by the way, he's not top 10 in any passing category either, right? You know, he does nothing with his legs. He's not top 10 in any passing category either. So I know his schedule is much lighter now than it was early in the season, but he just has not been good enough. And this is a good matchup too. Minnesota struggled against quarterbacks, 5th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. But even in this scenario, that's enough to get him from like 22nd in our ranks, I think, to like 15th. Not enough to start him in 10 and 12 team leagues.
You just talked about he does nothing with his legs. Would you rather see a combine of like the NFL's best athletes at quarterback or the NFL's worst athletes at quarterback? All right, you can either watch Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson and whoever else is in that mix for best athletes amongst quarterbacks, Daniel Jones. Or would you rather watch like Ben Roethlisberger versus Tom Brady versus Matt Ryan versus whoever else?
That would be fun.
I feel like that could be pretty compelling.
They need to bring back, though, like the quarterback challenge they used to do. Like, they used to do so many fun things, the quarterback challenge. And then I remember, like, at the Pro Bowl, they used to do a thing where, remember, David Akers and Adam Vinatieri flipped jerseys. You know, they were on the Patriots and Eagles, and they were doing, like, crazy field goal kicks. Like, they were outside the stadium at the Pro Bowl, kicking it into the stadium and through the uprights. It was unbelievable. Like, stuff like that's awesome.
Yeah, Younghoe Koo would dominate that.
Yeah, yes. How can they do stuff like that and then they miss a chip shot? I'm just asking. Wow. Like, I don't understand.
Stefania, someone lost a recent matchup,
just
right?
Seriously.
Yeah, someone's like, man, my 35-year-old kick. Anyway, let's keep moving here with the Pepsi team. We're just in Nashville for the week. Najee Harris, you're playing him. He comes in across the board at the top 5 play this week. He's got over 20 carries in 6 of his past 8 games. He has him at a top 10 running back in four straight games, Mike. That being said, like, if you go through the board of running backs right now, like, you're going to continue to take Najee Harris's consistency in terms of workload and overall output. Even if it hasn't been elite recently, it's been good enough.
Yeah, 15 plus points in 10 of 12 games. And look, here's the thing. We say volume is king all the time. Harris, some of the blame perhaps is on him, not all of it. You know, we knew going into the season their offensive line was going to be a big problem, but his efficiency is really poor. 3.6 yards per carry, 5.4 yards per target. Volume is king. Fourth in carries, first in targets at running back this season. I mean, you'll take that all day long. To your point, you start him.
Yeah, he simultaneously could be the NFL's offensive rookie of the year, but also be a pick that we look back upon a few years ago and being like, he's a really good player. But could the Steelers have maximized that pick more with an offensive lineman or a difference maker at a separate position that has more premium value? Mm-hmm. Two wide receiver cornerback matchups, and we'll get to more later on in the show, Mike. But what do you think about the matchup for both Deontay Johnson, who has just been unbelievable this year, top five wide receiver for all of us this week, and Chase Claypool, who is inside the top 30 as well?
Yeah, so, I mean, Johnson, to your point, I think we should quantify it a little bit. 11-plus fantasy points in all 11 games this season. 10 straight top 26 fantasy weeks. 10-plus targets in 17 of his last 21 games going back to last season. It's, I mean, talk about a high floor. If you play DFS cash, like, how do you ever bench this guy? He's money in the bank. And the matchup is certainly great here. The Vikings have allowed an NFL-high 75% of opposing wide receiver units to score above their season average. I use that stat once in a while when it's appropriate. They're number one in that category.
Wow.
If the wide receivers are facing Minnesota, they're almost always going to do better than they normally do. Second most fantasy points to receivers, most over the past 8 and 4 weeks. And the matchups here, it's going to be Bashaud Breeland on one side, and then Patrick Peterson is expected back from the COVID list. So that helps out a little bit. He's been okay this year. They've had struggles with Breeland and Alexander in the slot. But the matchups, Peterson has been solid. That helps him a little bit. But again, still a lighter matchup than usual. So like that for Deontay Johnson. And Chase Claypool. Okay, so this is interesting. The unluckiest player in the league in touchdowns this year.
Wow.
Can you believe that? After what happened last year where he was one of the luckiest? Major overcorrection. One touchdown this season. He's 23rd in end zone targets. His expected touchdown total is 4.7. That's the worst margin in the NFL at 3.7. So his last top 25 fantasy week was week 5, but he's averaging a little over 7 targets per game. He had 3 last week, but 8 plus the prior 2 games. And check this out. When he sees 6 or more targets in a game, he has 70 plus yards in 5 of those 6 games. So I'm just reeling off numbers here to get through both of these guys. But the fact is, when he has gotten those targets, he's been decent in the yardage department. He's had bad touchdown luck. I think there's reason for optimism that he could finish this season strong. I really do. So I have him 27th on my board this week. Good matchup for him and Johnson. I think both of them are starters.
Pat Freiermuth inside our top 10 amongst tight ends as well. He's been solid for Pittsburgh, especially of late with no Eric Ebron. Let's get to the Minnesota side. And before we get to Kirk Cousins, Stefania, the big question mark coming into this game was Dalvin Cook's availability, which when I woke up this morning, I would have thought, nah, he's not playing tonight. And yet he might be.
It sounds like he's going to. I mean, we just kind of assumed, right? He didn't play last Sunday with a short week coming off a dislocated shoulder. They might just keep him out this week, but that appears to not be the case. There's multiple reports, including one from our Jeremy Fowler, who cited a source saying Cook had passed the necessary test to clear him to play, and he will play barring a pregame setback. I mean, we also heard from Diana Rossini, the Vikings were optimistic he'd be able to play. Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network said they expected him to play. It's all over. And when you're hearing it that widespread, it certainly sounds like that is the plan, again, barring a surprise. Now, the next thing you might wonder is how effective can he be? I mean, he just dislocated the shoulder. What happens if he takes a hit? Well, there's certainly the risk of aggravation in the game. It comes with the territory. I would expect, given that he had a dislocated shoulder, he's probably wearing some sort of protective harness just to help give him a little bit of extra support through there, make sure his arm is not away from his body too much. But as far as being able to handle the ball, he should be fine. Just may not be able to reach, and that could affect his pass-catching ability. And again, excuse me, the unknowns of playing in the game and taking contact to the shoulder.
Glad you mentioned the possibility of a re-injury, Stefania, not because we want to see it happen, but that's the question everybody's going to tussle with all day today, is that what you probably fear most is that if you play Dalvin Cook, he gets 5 touches and then he leaves the game because of a recurrence of the injury, Mike. What you also fear is that if you don't play him and he has 25 carries or 25 total touches and has 150 total yards and a touchdown, you're going to say, I completely overthought my decision here. Some people might have both players in their lineup or on their roster. it's just hard to jam two players into a lineup from the same backfield when we don't know. Like, what if it turns out that, like, the only way that I think that works, I guess there's two ways that works. One is if it's a 50-50 split and you just get the best of both worlds. That's probably the ideal scenario if you play both of them. The second scenario is Cook starts early and then has to leave the game. And Mass has like a monster 30-point week. And you're like, you know what? I got 30 points total from two running backs. That's okay. I'll take that. But again, what if you play both of them? Or excuse me, what if you play, you know, one of them and you choose the wrong one? Speaking generally, and this is hard to do because everybody's roster is different. But if you have Alexander Mattison, if you have Dalvin Cook tonight, are you planning to play him if he's active?
And I have this situation. Okay. I have a team with Cook and Mattison. I will be starting Cook. Okay. Barring some sort of report right before the game that
15 snaps only or something.
Yeah, he's limited, something like that, which I don't expect. No.
When you say starting Cook, can I just ask, like, where in a rankings range would that be? Because that's different for you as it is for everyone else.
Yeah, my ranks are updated. I have him fifth on my board. Wow. I have Mattison 42nd. So that's where they sit right now. Keep this in mind. Last week was the third game Cook has missed this year, and they were all, none of them were in order. None of them were consecutive, right? The games he came back from, he was a full go. I mean, he had handled all the usage. In fact, Alexander Mattison has been a top 10 fantasy running back in all three starts this season. He doesn't have a finish better than 45th the other eight games, right? It's been the Cook show. So I think if he's active, again, what to your point, why would you put him out there if he's still like on a shoulder, still a little off, like we have to limit. Why is he playing then? You know, Madison's been awesome. There's no need to do it. So again, we don't know for sure, but all we could do is use the information at hand. And by all accounts, you would expect Cook to be pretty much a full go. So again, it's not even close for me. I will start Cook if he's active.
It's 11:31 as we're having this conversation on the East Coast. I want to, as Kyle suggested before the show, timestamp this so people understand where we're at and where the reporting is currently at. If things change, you'll see a change. If you go to see the ranks right now, you're going to see a scatter plot of locations for Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison, because some people like Mike have already updated the ranks. Others like myself have not yet done that because I'm waiting on more information, Mike. but Mike is right. Usually if there is a situation where, so the game's on Fox tonight and Jay Glazer, obviously their insider's pretty usually very good about tapping into, like, if he has heard definitively, that, hey, this guy's going to go, but he's going to play 15 snaps only. He's pretty good about giving you that information during the pregame reporting. So worth keeping an eye from about 6:30 to 8:15 Eastern time tonight as to whether we get any information about a potentially small workload for Dalvin Cook, or he's a full go. And this team is desperate right now. That much is for sure, right? Yeah, they need to win.
No doubt. By the way, just a quick note on there. The Steelers, not too good against running backs. Third most fantasy points over expected to running backs. So this is a good matchup, which should give you more confidence to start him.
I don't know if he'll be available tonight because of what Stefania said, like the range of motion could be limited. But golly, I was watching that Steelers-Ravens game last week, and the Steelers linebackers are so freaking slow. Oh my God. Devontae Freeman looked unbelievable last week in the passing game. And I'm like, these guys are running like they've got molasses on the bottom of their shoes. This could be, if Cook plays and he has a passing game role tonight, he could have five dump offs that turns into 49 yards, which, you know, that's huge. It's super valuable, especially in PPR scoring, obviously. All right, so more information on Cook hopefully throughout the day, but let's get to Kirk Cousins, Mike, who, you know, in previous years we talked about all these quarterbacks that were not drafted or were drafted low and sort of like rose up. This year there hasn't been as many of those breakthrough quarterbacks, but Kirk Cousins has been one. He's been really good all year for fantasy.
Yeah, he's been awesome. I mean, volume is not what you would expect from him, right? I mean, you generally think conservative, defensive-based, they're going to run the ball with Cook, but he's fifth in pass attempts this year. So, and he's played well. Let's be honest. He has played well. I don't think he's the reason that they have lost so many games this season. But check this out. Looking at top 12 fantasy leagues. So a lot of people listening are in 10 or 12 team leagues. So let's focus on top 12 quarterback finishes this season. Jalen Hurts, number one, with 10. Who's second?
There's a tie. Two guys. The way you've described it, I'm going to go with Josh Allen and Kirk Cousins.
No, it's Tom Brady and Kirk Cousins. They have eight each.
Who's better?
What?
Who's better? Yeah, like at football.
Who's better at football, Cousins or Brady? I won't get back to you. Can I look into that?
You should text Brandon Staley on that.
I will. He's a real coach. There's only 32 of those. I'll check with him. Yeah, I'd say Brady's a little bit. Brady has more fantasy points this year overall. I will say that. But
that's a tiebreaker.
But they both have 8 top 12s. And that's a surprise, right? I mean, it's a good value. Yeah. And I have him QB 11 this week. So he is a streaming option here against Pittsburgh. And he's going to be all season long kind of hanging on that radar.
So if I asked you for this week, keeping in mind that there is no Jonathan Taylor available, perhaps the best player in fantasy right now, the players that you are most confident starting, regardless of position, is there anybody not named Cooper Kupp that you would prefer to start at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, et cetera, more so than Justin Jefferson?
I don't think so.
He's unbelievable.
You could easily make the case that, and this is not a controversial take by any means, but that he's the number one asset in Dynasty right now. I mean, I think he would probably lean Taylor, but certainly a receiver. It's Jefferson or Chase are pretty much the conversation right now.
Yeah.
But he's up there. I mean, in terms of value, raw value in fantasy long term, he is right up there. The number one scoring receiver 2 out of the last 3 weeks. He's number 2 on the season. Top 25 in 10 of 12 weeks, to your point. The floor he delivers for you is fantastic. Second in receiving yards this year. And I thought this was interesting, too. So think about how good he was last year. You know how good he was last year? 88 catches, 1,400 yards, 7 touchdowns. He already is 78 for 1,209 and 7. He's almost there already. And he's
ridiculous.
I know they have 1 extra game this year, but he's well past that pace, even if it was a 16-game season. Also, Steelers, we talked about their run game struggles. 3rd most fantasy points allowed over expected against receivers as well. So that's a position where they continue to struggle. Again, none of this with the Steelers, their issues, easy to see in the offseason. Easy to see. I mean, they just overhauled the offensive line, spent a first-round pick on a running back, lost 2/3 of their secondary at their cornerback position. This is not surprising at all. The struggles are right there. Honestly, it's a little surprising they're hanging on as a 500 team and in the playoff race, but that Northern division's wide open.
2 words for you. Mike Tomlin.
No question about that, man.
Yesterday we were doing a little bit of a 2022 look ahead, and I was saying that if I had to guess the first player off the board next year, non-running backs, my guess is because of what happened this year, it'd be Cooper Kupp.
Yes.
I think there's a case it should be Justin Jefferson next year.
Yeah. I mean, you would think he's on the incline, right? Where Kupp's, 28 years old, 29?
Right. So, Kupp is not, it's an outlier. Not that he's an amazing player, sure, obviously. Sure. He has been really good for a long time, but just having this career season and to replicate that year over year at the age of 28, 29 is different than a guy in Justin Jefferson, who's sensational as a rookie, more sensational as a second year player. You should project him to be even more sensational as a third year player. He's ridiculous. They've got 2 great receivers in Minnesota, Stefania, but one of them will not be available tonight.
Yeah, that's Adam Thielen, who left Sunday's game pretty early with a high ankle sprain and was also ruled out for the rest of the game fairly early. Now, the question becomes interesting. Obviously, you don't have him tonight, but might you have him for next week's game, week 15? If you look at the average miss time across all positions for a high ankle sprain, it's 2.9 games. But yet the Vikings haven't made a move to put him on injured reserve. Mike Zimmer would only say that he expected Adam Thielen to return again this season. So we really haven't got an idea of severity. But I think the fact they haven't made the move, he's around, maybe they're leaving that door open. Maybe it was on the more mild side. And maybe because next week's game is a Monday night game for them, maybe the door is open.
Okay, so we might see him next Monday night. I mean, they got good news with Dalvin Cook, so they could get 2 pieces of good news as it pertains to injuries. I also remind people, and I know Stefania knows this, that just because short-term IR is only 3 games, even if you project a guy's going to miss 3 games, if you don't need the roster spot, you may not put him on IR right away because it at least opens the door to him only missing 2 games, or you don't need to make the, there are a lot of different ways to construct your roster. But the next man up for them would be KJ Osborne, Mike. And he's tantalizing. In some regards, I think there's a chance he has a nice night tonight. You talked about how the Steelers defense has been a bit vulnerable against the pass. They throw the football a lot. The game is being played in Minnesota. No issues with weather, yada, yada, yada. He's a good player. On the other hand, I also know that sometimes when you spend so much time expecting a player to step up into a new role, it's too good to be true. And I think about Foster Moreau last week, who had 1 catch, even though he had a near touchdown as well. So where do you land on KJ Osborne for this week?
Yeah, sometimes you forget, you think about the opportunity and you assume it's going to be there based on next man up, but you realize the player's, maybe an average player and they decide to spread the ball around. The opportunity is not what you expected it to be. But in this case, I do think it'll be there. And part of the reason is Osborne has flashed this year, right? He's in 4 games with 14-plus fantasy points. In fact, he looked like maybe one of the breakout players in the league in week 1. He had that big week 1. You thought, wow, they're using a lot of 11 personnel, three receivers on the field without Irv Smith. Here we go. You know, they're going to be set off. There's going to be three relevant receivers here. It hasn't worked out. He took a dive. Tyler Conklin has played a larger role. And obviously they continue to force feed the ball to Jefferson and Thielen. But look, with Thielen out, that's about 8 targets per game, a 22% target share. It's a huge opportunity. And I just don't know if there's any other major threats, right? Even if there's a little uptick here for Tyler Conklin, it's Dede Westbrook in the slot. You're going to put Osborne outside most likely here with Jefferson. There really is an opportunity for 6 to 8 targets for Osborne in this game. And by the way, another reason for optimism, Thielen missed most of last week. And Osborne stepped in, was targeted 7 times, had 4 catches for 47 yards and a touchdown in that game, right? That was one of his 14-point games this season. So I think there is reason to view him as a wide receiver 3, worst case of flex. If you're in a shaky spot, you lost Thielen or guys are on a bye, there's 4 teams on a bye, I think you can feel decent about Osborne.
This is going to be ridiculous. I know that you, the pragmatic one, is going to tell me this is especially ridiculous. But I got to tell you, part of the thinking for me with KJ Osborne, the opportunity is that knowing it's not a certainty, if you play KJ Osborne tonight on Thursday and he gets you 3 for 27, you have to spend 3 full days thinking about that, which I know that's not the right process at all, Mike. But I can live with it. If he just sort of camouflages himself amongst the other players on Sunday when there's 12 games going on as opposed to whatever, 11 games going on as opposed to Thursday night. That is just such, I always talk about this. Fantasy football is an emotional experience, man. Like, it's tough. So, yeah,
but it's the opposite too, right? Because if he goes off, you're just feeling great for 3 days. I mean, I think about a few weeks ago when we started Elijah Moore on Thursday and he had a huge game and you just go into the weekend like, I won already, you know? Yeah. It feels great. One guy, you get 20 some point. I mean,
no, but what happens though is when you have a big night on Thursday, is you don't think I've won already. You think like, how am I going to blow this huge lead, right? Like, how am I going to find a way to surrender?
Yeah, I thought I was the Buzz Killington here.
I'm just mainly people here, right? I'm trying to be relatable to everybody. Like, I'm telling you, that's how your mind works when you are in a high-stakes situation, as we are in week 14 of the fantasy football regular season. Let's get to the wide receiver cornerback matchups. If you're not familiar with the piece, well, that's too bad because you've been missing out on some great content. Mike writes it every single week on ESPN Plus. It's up right now. It is often, I say this every week, often imitated, never replicated. It's great, great stuff here, Mike. And let's begin with a couple of players this week that have a potential matchup upgrade or downgrade.
Yeah, I can't believe we're talking about Brandon Cooks again. I feel like this is like 9 straight weeks or something they've made this column. It happens to be, you know, you have a clear perimeter receiver, a number one receiver, and they're just matching up with defenses on the extreme. Either a really good or a really poor pass defense this week. It is a good pass defense. I'll get into the personnel in a second. But look, Seattle has allowed the 9th fewest fantasy points to receivers, including the 5th fewest over the last month. They've allowed the 4th most to the slot. So inside, they've struggled, but on the outside, the 3rd fewest fantasy points. And again, that's where Brandon Cooks aligns just under 70% of the time. Nico Collins is out there as well, but you're not starting him in fantasy, obviously, right now. Now, you might think, okay, it's DJ Reed and Sidney Jones, right? These are not, one's a former safety from the 49ers. One's Sidney Jones has bounced around from Philly to Jacksonville to Seattle. Yeah. You might think, I'm not afraid of those guys, but it's not always that simple, right? It's about the scheme. Seattle has had two high safeties on the field 47% of the time. That's 5th most. And they've been in zone 71% of the time. That is highest in the NFL. So they give those guys a lot of help over the top. And that's why they really haven't given much up to the perimeter this season. It sets up Cooks here with a tough matchup.
I said this a couple days ago. I'm not starting Brandon Cooks this week unless I absolutely have to. I'm just concerned about this Texans offense, which has given us plenty of reasons to be concerned recently. This is not something about the current regime. This is the hand they have been dealt, right? And they are just so dramatically limited. We don't know whether Tyrod Taylor will be available on Sunday. Sounds like he's iffy to play. It'll be Davis Mills. Mills had a couple of bright moments when he was a starter, but a lot of rookie moments while he was a starter as well. If I can, I'm trying to fade Brandon Cooks and really any Texans player this weekend. Sunday, the Browns play again, Mike. They come back from their bye. Last time we saw them, they were playing against the Ravens. They're playing against the Ravens again this weekend as the team has back-to-back games against Baltimore. What do you make of the matchup against the Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah, so this one is, I'm excited for the Browns, but I feel bad even talking about it because it's so much negative with Baltimore here. You hate this, right? No, the Ravens came into training camp with a loaded secondary. You're thinking Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphrey, awesome, right? One of the best duos in the league. Well, they're both on IR right now.
Yeah.
They lost Marcus Peters in camp. He went down for the season, and now they lost Humphrey last week. He's out for the season.
Sean Elliott, their safety, he's out as well. Yep,
100%. So the safety is the secondary is just beat up right now, and it's a good opportunity here for the Cleveland receiver. So what they're going to do here now, I think, is use Anthony Averett. He was a fourth round pick a couple years ago on the perimeter with Jimmy Smith, who they've been rotating at safety and corner as a part time player. Like, they want him playing a third of the snaps. He might have to play 95% now going forward. That's not an ideal situation for them. You're going to move Tavon Young in the slot. He's been hot and cold all offseason long. And on top of this, I mean, they've had Humphrey all year, right? They've allowed the second most fantasy points to the perimeter as is. I mean, so it's already been a struggle with him in the lineup. One of the best corners in the league, the most fantasy points allowed to the perimeter, the most over the last 8 and 4 weeks. They have been good against the slot. They have barely allowed anything to the slot. But Jarvis Landry, again, to your point, we just saw them. He primarily lines up in the slot, by the way. They played 2 weeks ago. 9 targets, 6 catches, 111 yards. Wow. Didn't score, but had a really good fantasy day. So you feel good starting him in this matchup. And then it's like, okay, can I use anyone else, right? And I think the answer is Donovan Peoples-Jones is the guy to look at this week. And I know he's been extremely boom-bust. There's risk here for sure. And he only had 10 yards when these teams played a couple weeks ago. Now a third of his routes were against Humphrey. But, I mean, if they have to come into this game attacking the perimeter, right? Like, how can you not? I mean, you're also missing probably David Njoku and Harrison Bryant as well.
Both out.
Both.
Well, Njoku will be out. That's what Fancy already said.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So there you go. I mean, you should be utilizing the receivers more in this game. I know you have Kareem Hunt. Should be a full go. You could utilize him and Chubb, but this sets up beautifully to attack Peoples-Jones, give him 7-8 targets. He's had some huge games earlier this season. He's one of the best sleepers this week, one of the best DFS punts for sure. So he's a guy I'm looking at. Otherwise, I don't think you can. Like, you're not looking at Rashad Higgins. Anthony Schwartz is still out. Jamarcus Bradley's not a guy you're starting. But Peoples-Jones, I think there's some reason for optimism.
Only reason I'm skeptical, Browns had the bye this past week, right?
Yeah.
Usually what do you always hear coaches talk about that we're going to do during the bye week? The same thing. We're going to do some self-scouting, right? Mm. What are the Browns best at on offense?
Running the football. Game, yeah.
Yeah, running the football a ton, right? And Kevin Stefanski said, I believe it was yesterday, Wednesday, like, you're going to see a ton of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt on Sunday. Now, game flow could make that more difficult to do, but I do believe the Browns are going to try to get back to their roots, so to speak, and just ground and pound the heck out of the football on Sunday afternoon. One more here, Mike, and that's wide receiver cornerback matchup. Question mark, because I don't know if it's an upgrade or downgrade. Monday Night Football. What a fun matchup we have. Yes. A great way to close out the week for week 14. The Rams traveling to Arizona to play the Cardinals. What does it mean for DeAndre Hopkins and the fellow Cardinals wide receivers?
Yeah, so it's a tough matchup for sure. So these teams already played, so we can look back and see how the Rams deployed their corners against Arizona's super deep wide receiver group, right? That no one uses 3 and 4 receiver sets more than Arizona. They love getting these guys on the field. It makes sense with the personnel they have. But what they did in that game was they did not full-time shadow Jalen Ramsey on DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. Now, he lined on the perimeter 8 times. All of them happened to be against DeAndre Hopkins. That's only 8 plays. He was mostly in the slot in that game. What they actually did was use Darius Williams against Hopkins. They aligned him. They said, you're going to stay here most of this game. You cover Hopkins. And Hopkins didn't do much. You know, he was on him on over half his routes, a 4 for 67 in that game. When he was up against Ramsey or Williams, he had 2 catches for 28 yards. So they held him in check pretty well. So you're thinking, all right, they held him in check. So Christian Kirk must have did well, right? Nope. 5 yards on 1 target. How about Rondale Moore? 3 for 28. So the plan worked pretty well. I think they're going to do the same thing. The one guy I did not mention, though, is AJ Green, who had one of his best games. The reason is he's the opposite side of DeAndre Hopkins. He's at the right perimeter. In that game, the first game, it set him up against David Long. That was the plus matchup. He had six targets, 5 catches, 67 yards, and a touchdown with 2/3 of his routes against Long. Now, Long's not, he's on IR. The next guy up is Dante Dion. He's playing that spot now. It's a good spot here for AJ Green. He's the guy that gets the upgrade in this matchup, but the other corners we're going to downgrade just based on how they deployed them last time. This is a good defense, tough matchups across the board except for Green. So super sleeper there. You know, if Peoples-Jones is too much for you, maybe it's AJ Green you're looking at.
Saucy from Mike Clay. So good. So good every single week. So Mike, just quickly on DeAndre Hopkins, any sense about, like, if he was at, let's call it 80% last week, or was he 100% last week? Do you think he's like going to be, like, do you expect that by the end of the season, we'll not be talking about that hamstring anymore?
Well, I hope not. You know, we never feel like we're really out of the woods until you see a guy play for a couple of weeks and not have any issues with a setback. I feel like they were just conservative in how they used him. And the reason I feel that way is because of something Cliff Kingsbury said and how much time he spent talking to DeAndre Hopkins before they actually brought him back. And it had to do with that first play on a Thursday night game against Green Bay when he had that big run where he looked like the receiver that he is, but he also aggravated the hamstring where he like sped up, slowed down, sped up again. And I think that play with him running on the perimeter where he had the possibility to go full speed was just something that they didn't want him to really do. And then there it was in that game and he had a setback. So I feel like they were very cautious in terms of how they deployed him his first time back. And every time you have success with that, then you can come back and say, okay, we got through that. Now we can let the reins loose a little bit more. So I think you're going to see more and more involvement of him. And hopefully by next week, it's not even a thing, maybe by this week, but they needed to be able to have confidence, not only that he could do it, but that if he did feel something, he'd communicate with them and scale it back.
Okay. Good context right there. Hopefully he gets back to 100% sooner rather than later. Big one on Monday night. Can't wait to watch that one to close.
He is at practice today, Field Yates. Okay. I just saw an update on Twitter. So I think that's positive.
Yeah, it's good.
And by the way, Chase Edmonds designated for return. So they're now opening the door for Chase Edmonds to be available. They're not going to comment on it until it gets closer to the time. Obviously, there's a 21-day window when you're coming off IR. But he has the opportunity to practice this week, and so something we should pay attention to.
Excellent news right there. Let's finish up the show with some social questions. Daniel, I turn it over to you. Oh, let's pick the game.
I mean, it's gotta be
the numbers, guys. Like, come on.
The question
I want to say more numbers.
The question is how bizarre? Like, what is the next bizarre thing that happened to Minnesota?
I've got Minnesota winning this game, and I will go 27-26.
Close. I have 25-20 Minnesota. Okay. I'm going to pick them. I can't believe it, but
Stefania.
I think it's going to be Minnesota. It's going to be another down to the wire game. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if it's an overtime game.
Okay. Daniel, what do you think?
What did you say your score was, Mike?
25-20.
And what was yours, Field?
27-26 temporarily. What's your pick, Daniel?
I think I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. Thank you. And I'm going to go 31-30.
Okay, good.
Wow, lots of points.
If Daniel picked Minnesota, I was flipping my pick.
See, Field, the Vikings lost to the Lions, and the Steelers tied the Lions, so therefore there's no way the Steelers are going to lose to the Vikings. It's just science, obviously.
It's
Mike
a measuring tape.
Yeah, that's hashtag analytics.
That is math. Science.
It's a transitive property or something like that.
Or an algorithm when Daniel can put that together.
That's right. Social questions?
Let's do it.
Yes.
All right. We're going to take this first one from Elliot. Which quarterback has more upside the rest of the season and in Dynasty, Dak Prescott or Joe Burrow?
I think the second part of the question is probably a little bit easier, right? Because Joe Burrow, despite being an old second-year player, he turns 25 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which, just for some context, Trevor Lawrence just turned 22, and they're 1 year apart in terms of drafts and 3 years apart in terms of age. I still think the answer is Joe Burrow in terms of dynasty, because you have
really,
yeah, I think potentially you have like a longer window, right? And I think Dak might be better year over year, but like, I don't think it's that crazy to assume that Joe Burrow will rise to Dak's level soon.
I don't think it's crazy, but Dak's only 3 years older.
Yeah.
Right. So that's pretty close. But Dak's already, put it this way. Dak has 5 top 12 fantasy seasons already. Burrow has like 5 top 12 weeks in his career so far. I mean,
Solid, well-reasoned argument.
Dak is a certified mid-range QB1. He's still only 28. Burrow, he doesn't add anything with his legs, and that's going to limit his ceiling, I think. And maybe he comes out as a 45-yard passing touchdown season and makes this look silly. And I like him. Don't get me wrong. I just think Dak is the better dynasty asset. And honestly, I'd want him the rest of the season too.
I say at the end of a 10-year window, Joe Burrow is the better quarterback than Dak Prescott.
I want to see you collecting on this bet.
10 years from now. Save that clip for 10 years from now.
I know.
We're coming back to that.
All right.
Daniel Dopp Jr. will be the host of the show at that point, right? Jeez.
Shannon wants to know, who should I stream at tight end replacing Logan Thomas? Yikes.
I'll tell you what, I got a good one for you.
I have one too.
Go ahead, Savon, you go first.
Maybe it's the same one, but I doubt it. I was going to say maybe Tyler Conklin.
Oh, okay.
You've got no Adam Thielen. Tyler Conklin did catch a few more passes when Adam Thielen went out of the game.
Like,
and he's probably available because he's not a top 10 tight end, or he's not ranked that way this week. So I just think there's some upside potential there.
Like that one. I'll give you Austin Hooper.
Yeah, I like
because both David Njoku and Harrison Bryan expected to be out on Sunday for the Cleveland Browns. Mike talked about the wide receivers, but still, that's not a particularly imposing group. Give me Austin Hooper. Mike, who do you got?
Yeah, I think Tyler Higbee, if he's out there. Ricky Seals-Jones is naturally into the questions about Logan Thomas. Looks like he's going to play, so he's back at practice. So I would go there. And how about this name? Just a name to watch. And speaking of dynasty, Brevin Jordan. Keep an eye on him. Mid-round pick.
Good for
he's picking it up. The target shares have been over 10% 3 weeks in a row. You're not starting him yet, but I've seen him out there in like dynasty leagues on waivers. I mean, that's a name to keep an eye on. He could be their starting tight end next year, and he's trending up.
Okay. Next question we have comes from Chad. Kelce or Gronk the rest of the way?
It's a good question, Chad. Yeah. Crazy to think, but it's a fair question.
Yeah, I did look at the schedules just because it's so close, and Kelce's easy call, right? Just because he's been so good for so long. Kansas City schedule way easier for tight ends going forward. Not super important, but notable. But check this out. Do you know Kelce's only 4 months younger than Gronk?
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Unbelievable.
Again, 3 years
apart in the
draft.
It doesn't feel like that at all. Yeah. But I would lean Kelce.
I would lean Kelce as well, but Gronk has more touchdown upside based on how things have gone recently.
No doubt.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, this last one is specifically from Mike. Comes from the Spurs. Are you flexing Saquon Barkley or Jamar Chase this week?
This is a close call. Wow. It is. But look, Chase has not been overly good. I tweeted something about this earlier today because I was actually conflicted on this. I was looking into it a little bit. Cincinnati has faced way more zone over the past month or so, and Chase's numbers are down significantly from where they were. And the Chargers, I mentioned this before, they've allowed a running back touchdown in 8 straight games and 10 of 12 this year. We know they've struggled against running backs. I think Barkley gets back on track.
No. I'm going to say such a problem. It's so interesting. Like, I want to study you. That's what I want to study. I want to understand what goes. Here's Mike with all these algorithms, but there's this one little like soft spot. Mm-hmm. Eagles fan who loves himself a Giants running back.
It's volume. You know, that was the case in the offseason. And again, I felt like it was going pretty good before he had the ankle injury. Back-to-back top 10s.
But, you know, just like we can't take away, like, except for the long run, or I got skewered for taking that away from somebody a week ago. I don't even remember. I try and delete those from my memory. But it's like you can't take away the ankle injury from Saquon, especially because it's going to bother him for the rest of the season. Like, he's not going to be right for the rest of the year. I love Saquon is an athlete, and I would like to see a healthy Saquon. Football is better when he's 100%, but I don't think you get that this year.
Let me ask you something, Stefania. Mike, you can answer this too. Do you like red zone touches for your fantasy players?
Sure.
Yeah.
Stefania?
Yeah. Well, okay, yeah. Why wouldn't
Saquon hasn't had a red zone touch since week 4. That stat courtesy of Kevin Pulsifer. Week 4!
Yeah, I mean, their offense hasn't gone anywhere.
Hasn't been any better than that than him, you know, over the past month or so, too.
Field red zone is inside the 5-yard line. Is that right?
20.
The 20-yard line. Yeah. No, he's even been 20 yards from. Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
He gets allergic. Yeah, I just love Mike's conviction here.
Look, I know I'll take the L on him for the season, no doubt about it. And last week, obviously, it was way wrong with Javonte. No,
come on.
Stop. But it's so hard when you just see the volume. I mean, he's
so
playing 80% of the snaps, getting the touches.
I love Saquon Barkley.
It's hard to argue with that. You know, volume is king at the end of the day, and it's a good matchup, too. If it was not this good of a matchup, I would have went Chase for sure. And the projection's very close, but I'm going that way. I'm going that way.
Can you imagine how frustrated the Eagles mascot is right now?
She's like, what do I have to do?
Jeez.
Like, talk about that. What about the Eagles running backs? They're like,
right?
Yeah, they're
like, we don't care.
Why don't you defend me this much?
I try to, but, you know. Man, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's just one of them things. You're chasing the usage, right?
You know, love is blind, Mike. I mean, love is blind. It's okay.
It is.
That's
I guess.
Poetic right there from Stefania. Hey, the good news is over the past 2 games for Saquon Barkley, 56 total touches. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's 28
volume
a game if my math is good. All right. So we'll figure out whether Mike is right or wrong on Saquon Barkley and Jamar Chase come Monday morning. Mike will be back with us next week.
Can I ask one more question before we go?
Yes.
Real quick. Mike, with that, put your numbers hat on, not your blind spot. What am I doing with the San Francisco running backs this week? Do I play one?
I have removed Eli Mitchell's projections for now. I'm going Wilson as the lead back and Hasty as the complimentary back.
You start either?
I would start Wilson right now. I think he'll be the main guy. That's the way I'm leaning for
now.
His
knee too, right?
Is bothering him a little bit.
Yeah,
oh my God.
I'm leaning that way for now, but we got to keep an eye on the news there.
Okay. I'm starting George Kittle. How's that for
there you go.
Smart.
He could play a running back this week.
That's right.
We
are back on Friday. Matthew will be back. We'll have a full look at all the injuries and the major storylines going into week 14. Enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully Dalvin Cook plays for Mike and Stefania and Daniel. I am Field. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace out.
another fan for life. Charges are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac, brainiac on the case, with projections that can put us in first place. He's a brainiac, brainiac, he's my Clay.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.